Well, we're doing a series called What Works When Life Doesn't. You know, there used to be an old song that says, I've got a wonderful feeling everything's going my way. Well, that might be true somewhere in Oklahoma, but it's certainly not true in most people's life. It seems that you're either coming out of trouble or going into trouble or seeing trouble or leaving trouble. There's always seemingly somebody's got some trouble. Very seldom do you have a day when you don't run into someone who's got a lot of situations and problems that they're facing. So we're dealing with it. This is the third Sunday of this series. And I've called this one Sermon Number 3, Here Comes Trouble. I wasn't referring to you walking in this morning, but here comes trouble. Here comes trouble. It will come in different forms. It will come in some major things. It will come in little things. Small things, big things, it comes in different sizes. But the impact, of course, is that of stress. Most people will say, I am so stressed. Why? Because of what has happened. It might have to do with their daughter or their son, or it might have to do with illness. It might have to do with a separation. It might have to do with divorce. It might have to do with finance or financial business. Might have family problems and family disruptions or tensions in the home or death of somebody or even Christmas. Somebody told me they were so glad that Christmas was over. They said, what a blessing Christmas is when it's over. He said, it can't live up to its expectations, that's for sure. He said, I'm just so glad there were so many things to go to and places I was supposed to be and money I was supposed to come up with for presents. And he said, I'm thankful for January where there's nothing happening and we're all broke. Well, there we have it. We got rid of some major. But even that on a stress level, even good things can be stressful and difficult to face for many. So the psalmist David, King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, he had plenty of exposure to what could be called for sure shattering experiences, things that just shatter your confidence in your faith. He had his share of troubles. One thing you could say about David, he had his share of problems one after another, and that's why we have the Psalms, because of his problems. I would suspect that most of the hymns, I would say this morning here, I told Randy what I was going to be speaking on. Great choice, Randy. Great choice of songs. And he's going to come back in a few moments here and sing a song that had to do with this. But I would suspect that every single song that the team led us this morning came out of trouble. I bet somebody sat down at a piano or a guitar and began to sing and reflect on what that situation was that they were going through. Well, David would have been like that. He knew something of the shaking of his life, as if an earthquake had hit him. So I wanted you to draw your attention to Psalm 46. Let me just read it. You can just close your eyes if you want, but do whatever you want to do, but I'm just going to read it. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Lord, holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will draw her when morning dawns. The nations rage and the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. And then it just breaks into this little verse. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Dear Lord, take this, your word, bless it to our hearts. Cause it to sink deeply within us. And Lord, I pray that this will be not just something surfacey, but something that will stay with us for a long time. We welcome that, Lord, and we thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Everybody needs a rock. Everybody needs a fortress. When you have a rock in your life, then you know that you're going to make it. You've probably heard me say this before. I've often quoted this at funerals, but a man came to me one time, and we were talking about a mutual friend. And I said, "How is so-and-so doing? How's he doing?" And my friend said, "He's doing as well as he can, considering he has no rock in his life." I said, "What?" He said, "Well, you know him as I know him." He said, "There's nothing stable in his life. Everything is moving." He said, he's unstable because he doesn't have a rock. He doesn't have a foundation. There's no place to go for him. He has not chosen the Lord, so therefore he's drifting and up and down, and he's going here and there and everywhere. He's trying everything. He's a mess. Oh, and he doesn't have a rock. And I thought of that, and I thought, thank the Lord, I have a rock. I have a place to go, a mighty fortress, right? A mighty fortress is with us and around us. How we thank the Lord. Just take the Lord out of your life and just see what it would be like for you. Just in your own mind, just mentally picture that you're not sitting in church, but you're just loose and free, and you've just finished watching TV and having a second cup of coffee. You don't know where you're going. You don't know how you're going to get out of the situation you're in. That is a very frightening thing. And when I think of all the people, tens and hundreds and thousands perhaps, well, millions, I suppose, of people that this very moment are wondering what life is about. They are so stressed and so overwhelmed, so discouraged, so wrought. They don't know what to do, and they don't know where to turn. They don't see religion as an answer. They don't see Jesus has any relationship, maybe to their problem and situation. And my heart can only go and say, oh God, I remember today people that are not doing well. They don't have a rock in their life. Everybody needs a solid foundation, something stable. You see, God's answer of Psalm 46, verse 10, here's God's answer. He says, be still. In the midst of that storm, in the midst of that hurricane, in the midst of the earthquake, whatever else it would be, metaphorically speaking, and maybe even physically speaking in some cases, but God's answer remains the same. He says, be still. Run, says instinct, doesn't it? Let's get a run away from this. God says, be still and know that I am God. He said, bring me into your situation. Bring me into the calculations. You see, it's easy to be calm and cool and collected when everything is well, isn't it? When things are going well, it's not so hard to trust the Lord. But to be able to react to the unexpected, that's what does me in. It's not the thing that I saw, it's the thing that I didn't see coming. It's that I wasn't expecting it. I didn't think that would happen now. I didn't think those people would get divorced. I didn't think that this person would get sick. I didn't think of that. It was unexpected and difficult, therefore, because you couldn't prepare. There wasn't time to prepare. Wouldn't you like if the Lord would phone you up and say, by the way, on Thursday at 2 o'clock, you're going to have some problems? Oh, thanks. Good. All right. I appreciate that, Lord. It's never that way. It's suddenly, right? Suddenly, there's a problem. There's a situation. The car breaks down. Right, something else happens, some disaster in your family, Uncle Henry's was arrested. These are real things. You know, one of the things I enjoy in kind of a sick, sadistic way, I enjoy going to court locally here. And I've gone on quite a few occasions actually. And one of the most amazing things is to run into somebody from the church who's in court. Especially how surprised they are to see me. Somebody I saw not so long ago, I said, well, fancy meeting us here. I said, I haven't seen you at church, so now I know where you've been. Well, I don't fully understand .08, but I can appreciate why they might be where they are. Meaning that it was just, whoa. And then if you sit in court for a while, just sit there for a while. K- case after case after case after case, right? There's just no end of it. And it's quite fascinating. But you talk about problems. Those situations, they're just awful problems. And so in verse 10 of chapter 46, the word of the Lord comes to us and says, be still and know that I'm God. To know that I'm God. And so one of the secrets of surviving in life, so you're not overwhelmed, one of the secrets is to be so accustomed to being still in the Lord's presence that it becomes an intuitive reaction. I'll give that again. One of the secrets is to be so accustomed to being still. In other words, learn how to be still. That it becomes an intuitive reaction. I remember reading somewhere that there was a Bible that they made, an emergency Bible, made of plastic, so you could take it in the shower with you, actually, if you would have wanted to. I saw it. Or you could take it with you. So I guess if the boat capsizes and you're going down, you can whip out a few verses there. But it seems to me that would be kind of that's not something you're accustomed to. That's something you're preparing for, that you have a Bible that you can turn, a waterproof Bible. That's what it was, a waterproof Bible. But what about learning to be still so that when it does come next Thursday at 2 o'clock or Wednesday at 3 or when that problem or that situation, or I find out I have to replace the motor in the car, or that I find out that bill came in or that situation with some sickness or illness, whenever those things come, that it's not some thing where you have to phone up the church and say, listen, does anybody know how to be still there? Because I sure need somebody to be still in my life right now. Could you send somebody over? No, it would be that, say, I have been practicing being still in the little things so that when the big things come, they don't hit me so hard. I'm already used to it. I'm already accustomed to being still in his presence. You see, a well-trained soldier, if he's well-trained, and I'm sure a police would be the same, will freeze, just freeze instantly if they hear some sound that they're not expecting. So it takes long hours of training to enable that soldier to freeze quickly as he's perhaps just waiting, is it like a sentry? And it might save his life as he's just paused and taught how just to stay still. And that's how it is with the one who would be still in the Lord when the unexpected comes. That freeze, just be still. Don't panic. Take a deep breath. Trust the Lord on this. You're going to be okay. Now, if you learn how to do that on a daily thing, with little things like, oh, I'm going to be late. Oh, I'm not. We've all done that, right? I was to meet somebody this week. It turned out I was good. They said, can I meet you? They're coming across town. I can meet you at 9 at White Spot. I said, that'd be really good. So at quarter after 9, or quarter after what I thought was quarter after 8, I see Val's getting her coat on. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm not going yet because I don't have to be there till 9. And she said, it's already 9. It's already 9? Oh, 5-2 or whatever it was. Oh, now I'm panicking. What had happened? I'd caught my watch on something earlier in the morning. You know how it is? And it stopped. So I thought I had this whole extra time. Well, I'm telling you, good thing you don't be on the entrance of my driveway. I come flying up out of that, you know. Around there, stop it. Oh, no, not the stoplight. Oh, rats. Now I got to wait for that. And I'm trying, oh, don't. I hope he doesn't go. You know. And I find, get in there. And I just made it. How are things with you? Oh, I'm fine. How are things with you? The point of it was, I was panicking all the way down Mountain Highway. Because I thought if he comes across town, then he doesn't think I'm there. You see, it's those are the times. On the way home, by the way, I repented of it to those. I said, Lord, I was panicking. I was panicking. And the Lord said, well, now you can learn on these things. This is small stuff, right? He said, but as you learn the small stuff. So I think, I always tell people, I think you have a 15-second window. You can go crazy with your emotions for the next 15 to 20 seconds, right? Okay. So when I was like, okay, let's all worry together. All right, you're going to worry, you're going to panic, because after that, God says, I don't expect you to be still. Right, God says, I expect you to be still. So, wow, I thought that, that's difficult. That's difficult. So when somebody masters the secret of being still in the Lord, you know something. You know that they've spent considerable time learning of the Lord and learning of his ways. And that is the by, you know, when you have a situation, I can guarantee you the person you will phone is somebody that you know has experience in being still. Right? You don't phone the worry wart of the church. You don't phone the person who is already heading for the bar because of that situation. You don't phone that person. You phone the person who you know has experience in being still. Say, I'll phone so-and-so. I know that they can help me. I know they'll pray with me. I know that they'll have it together. See, well, nobody has it together, but we know what you're saying, is that years, months, and years of being still, that when the bigger one comes, when that earthquake comes, when that flood comes, when that situation comes, when that disaster comes, when that upheaval comes, when that reversal comes, whenever that thing comes, big or little, you know and I know that you find that you reach out for the person that will stand strong in the Lord and will be able to say those wonderful words, why don't we pray together? How many of you have been greatly helped? Great to say, why don't we just pray about this right now? Right? Just right now. Let's just pray about that. Wow, that's exactly what we need to know. So it's be still. But there's another part of it. And know that I am God. It's not just being still. Lots of people can be still. Lots of people can meditate. Lots of people can do deep breathing exercise, and they may be good. But there's another part of it. It's to know that the Lord is God. People do various things when they're still. The psalmist says, we are to know that the Lord is God, and he's someone to whom we're to be acquainted with in such a way that we are drawn to him. And it's valuable moments being drawn to him because of who he is. To know him, in other words, in a personal way is what is needed. It's not just a matter of having a concept of God to be still, know that I am God. There's more to it. It's knowing him in a personal way is what is needed. To know, see, be still and know. Know what? Know that he is my salvation. To know that he is my rock. To know that he has power to save. He has power to forgive. He has power to deliver. He has power to care and to love me. That's the situation. When you say, to be still and know that God is with me, that he won't forsake me. And I can look back over all of my years, and I can look back more recently, of the last 26 years here, have all the chances I have had to learn to be still. To say, no, we won't panic. We've had our 20 seconds of panicking. Now we will trust the Lord because we know that he is God. So now it begs the question, if we're to know this God who has power to save and power to deliver, he's a mighty God, a strong God, we know him, we know his ways, we've read his word, we know what Psalm 46 is about. See, these are, when you say, I to be still and to know, how many know that your knower is not your head? Your knower is not your head. Your knower is your inner man. To know something, to know. I know that we'll be okay. Why? Because I know the Lord in here. That's right. It's not just some vague knowledge of him. And, you know, you could write a few books about it, I suppose. You say, well, I know this and this. And this. No, no, no. Do you know that he is God in your heart? That it's personal. That's what's needed. Not just some casual acquaintance. I think there's many times people wait so long. They don't trust the Lord. They don't trust. And finally, there's an emergency. Then they're panicking and they're phoning up the prayer chain and they're fine, which is nothing wrong with that. That's good. But what else can I do? I better phone the church. Oh, well, there's nobody at the church as usual. Oh, I can't find out. What am I going to do? And say, don't you know the Lord? Oh, yeah, I know the Lord. Oh, yeah, I try to know the Lord. No, no. Don't you know the Lord? You find out they don't know the Lord. Oh, they know him in terms of salvation. They know that he wrote their name in the Lamb's Book of Life, but they don't know the Lord. Knowing the Lord is over time. When you can say, I know the Lord, he will never fail. Arise, O God, let your enemies be scattered. Right? Because you know the Lord. It's not just that I know that he can save me from eternal judgment, but that I know who he is. I know him in a personal way. That's what's needed here to draw from his wonderful strength. So the question is, and it does beg the question, if that be true, then how do I know God intimately? So I can say, I know the Lord in my heart. I know who he is. I know his ways. Right? Now, I'll confess right now, sometimes it seems to me that God colors outside of the line. Right? Meaning I see situations and yet God seems to not honor those situations. But Lord, it seems that he does something a little bit different. And that does always say, Lord, I'm still going to trust you. I don't understand why that happened, but I'm going to trust you. I'm looking to you. I'm trusting you on the deepest level. So here's the thought. Relationships don't begin on an intimate level. They don't begin there. That's the result of evangelism, but they don't begin there. Intimacy develops with time and with experience. So it is with the Lord. You don't just race to that place. You finally get this. Oh, now I'm one who trusts the Lord. No, it's not. It takes time. So where do you start? Okay, if relationships take time, you can't just read it out of a book. Then we start by realizing certain things that God has revealed about himself. You don't have to know everything, but you need to know something. And so consider the very first verse of this psalm. We can learn something from this. Number one, what's the very first thing we can learn about is that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. So notice the three things that God has shown the psalmist. Shows him three things. Number one, that God is a refuge. Now that's not say, oh yes, he's my refuge. No. He is your refuge. That's where you hide. He that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress, my refuge. That's who I run to. I hide in him. So to understand that God is a refuge when you're under stress is the first step. It's the first step to knowing God, that he is your refuge, that we run to him. It's wonderful and powerful and delightful and delicious and all the other things that go with it. But the second step, so the first step to know he's a refuge, the second step is to relate the stress of that situation, because there is stress with these things, to relate the stress to him and to seek his protecting and preserving grace. So he is my refuge, and then as I push those things off onto him, he becomes my strength. And it's not just a matter of saying, well, he's helping me. No, say, the Lord is my strength. He told me that about himself. He's revealed something here. Number one, he's a refuge. Number two, that he's a strength. No, so don't just read it quickly over. Mull on that and be delighted in that. He will act on our behalf and thereby show us another aspect of his being. If whatever you're going through right now, be a little thing and you're wondering how you're going to pay your income tax, to something really major with a health issue or maybe a child issue in your family, if you can say here today, Lord, thank you that you are my refuge and I'm going to hide in you each day. I'm going to come to you just to spend time with you because I need you. If you're able to do that, it's amazing what other things God will reveal to you. There's all kinds of things he will. But the starting point is that he is the refuge. And it's very, very powerful, very unbelievably good, actually. His protecting and preserving grace. So you'll become aware in a practical sense of his, and I think there's a blank there, his refuge qualities. That's what you will learn. That's what I'm learning, is his refuge qualities. He qualified all the things that are a refuge it makes up. That's who Jesus is. That's who our Lord is. And so I can put him on. He's my refuge. He's my strength. And when I learn that of God's refuge qualities, in other words, if you were able to trust him regarding that income tax bill, and you came out and say, you know, he was my refuge. Every day I just turned that over to him. You're already going somewhere. You already have something positive happening in your life. They say, and most people will say, this thing really caused me to pray. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. That's how you learn to pray. You learn to pray because there's something to pray about. Right? And most of us would say, Lord, I sure learned how to pray. Yes, more than I actually wanted to. But nevertheless, there it is. I've learned to find that God is my refuge. And I don't know what I would have done without him. I couldn't imagine. Couldn't imagine without the Lord. So you look for God's refuge qualities. That he makes such an excellent hiding place. Well, there's more we could talk about that. I wrote this little note here. Unfortunately, many people do not give the Lord an opportunity to show what he can do when things get rough. And so as a result, they never deepen in the knowledge of God because they didn't allow the situation to be used of the Lord. So this is where if you've ever read the little booklet, Power to Praise, by Merlin Carruthers, how many of you ever remember that? If you're my age, you would remember that. Oh, so now they put their hand. I didn't know you was that age. But if you're my age, you know that. I think back in the 70s or 80s, 70s probably. I have a little booklet. I have one. I'll show you too if you want to see it. But there's power in praise. That's the essence of the book. That when you're even though you're up to your neck in alligators, but you know God has sent you in to drain the swamp, you know, that situation is that you begin to praise the Lord. So we begin to say, thank you, Lord. What? Thank you, Lord. You are my refuge. I bless you. I thank you. This thing will not overwhelm me. I thank you, Lord, that you're protecting me and you're protecting my family. I praise you. I give you thanks. I give you glory. And so what happens is that we discover that God is a refuge and that we can, as we push over the stress of it, because there can be stress. Oh, there can be stress. And so what do? I must fling that, casting all your care upon him. He's my refuge. He's my strength. It's not just he gives me strength, folks. There's a difference here. He is my strength. You don't say, Lord, please give me your strength. Oh, no, why don't you declare it? You are my strength. Today, I will make it through because you are my refuge and you're my strength. And guess what? Now you know something about God. Isn't it amazing? Well, that's a revelation. If you get that clearly, as it comes as a revelation, you can go home today saying, I learned something at church today that God is my refuge. He's my hiding place. I can come in. I even tell the Lord, I'm coming into the refuge. Oh, I thank you for your wings around me. Thank you for your arms around me. I thank you, Lord. I give the situation to you. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm trusting you, Lord. You are a trustworthy God. You have refuge qualities. Where else are you going to go? Right? See, it's not even a matter of going to the church. Thank God for the prayers of the church. I'm not belittling that even slightly. I thank God every day for the prayers of the saints. But it's not a matter of hiding. You can't hide in the saints. You can't hide in the congregation. You can hide in the Lord. Right? Make sure that you're putting your confidence not in the Christian body, but in the Lord himself. That's what's needed. This intimate knowledge with him that comes by, first of all, knowing that he's a refuge. Secondly, by knowing that he's your strength. He doesn't give it. He is it. And so today and this week, there'll be opportunities for me to say, Lord, I trust you with this. I give this over to you. And Lord, cause me not to worry excessively on this very situation. So thirdly, he's a very present help. He doesn't desert you. One thing you will discover, if you haven't already, of course, looking at this crowd, I'm sure most of you discovered this. your friends will not be that helpful. It's not that they don't mean to be. I don't know how it works. Somebody says, I don't know where my friends were. I don't know where they were either. But don't blame them. Just let it go. People don't always understand what's going on. I've learned that. Don't look to people. You'll almost always disappoint you. And don't even blame them for it. People don't know how to react to us sometimes. Right? They didn't say they could. Nobody even phoned. No. You're probably right. Keep looking to the Lord. You know, they didn't even come over and see me. No. They got busy. You know, when you let people go, just don't put anything on them. Should they have been there? Sure, they should have. How come they didn't phone? I don't know. All I just know is you can't rely on. See, friends will fail you. They don't mean to. Right? You'll come with some colossal, heavy burden. You come to church and somebody will say, how are you doing? Oh, man, I'm just really trashed here. I'm completely knackered here. I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, did you see the football game? That was amazing. Hey, wasn't that great? Powerful. That great game. What? And nobody seemed to take your problem that seriously. You've got some life-threatening thing, and they're talking about some other crazy thing. Don't worry. You've done the same. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, precisely. You see, if you say, well, I'm really grateful for my friends. Yeah, be grateful for your friends, but I know this. They can't understand what I'm experiencing. And for you to put that on them, you can guilt them, but they may not be able to. They got their own issue. How many know people have their own issues? And they don't know what to say about your divorce. They don't know what to say about your surgery. They just don't phone because they just don't know what to do, so we don't do anything. It's not that they don't think about us. It's not that I still want them as my friends, but I cannot look to them because it's not the ultimate, what God wants you to do. Thank God for his friends and thank the Lord for the ones that phone. But most won't. But you won't need to worry about that. You'll have enough. But you will have a working knowledge of God. And I'll tell you that when they're going through a problem, they'll be phoning you because they know of the growth in your life. This is a powerful thing. This is how you learn to know the Lord intimately. You know him, first of all, as a refuge. Secondly, as he is my strength. And I look to him to see me through. And if anybody's praying on the side and doing anything else encouraging, praise God. But I'm not depending on it, and I'm not holding them over the fire trying to get them to understand my situation. I am trusting in the Lord. The Lord doesn't desert you. Here's the good news. The Lord will not desert you in a crisis. He will never desert you. He will never take his hand off of you. This is real stuff. Do you know how many saints down through the years have depended on Psalm 46? Thousands, maybe millions of saints, the godly ones, the strong ones in the Lord. They understand, they were forced to as David. He says, I know this to be true. I know that God is my refuge and my strength and my very present help in trouble. And I wrote a little note. Have I discovered that the Lord was very present? You know, oftentimes what we need to do is take the, I don't imagine they do this anymore for fingerprints, but it used to be they would dust for fingerprints. And they would they'd put the dust on and they'd blow it off and they'd see, you'd see where the footprints were. Well, I find that after you go through something difficult and you come out the other side, knowing the Lord better, more intimately, more personally, that you start dusting for fingerprints and you start seeing that God was over here and God was over here and God was over here. And God, and his fingerprints are everywhere. God's got his fingerprints everywhere. I didn't see it at the time. I was so overwhelmed with, the situation. But I can see I wasn't alone. God was with me. He provided this. He supplied that. This happened and that happened and that happened. Lord, thank you. So I would say just get the dusting powder out and search for the fingerprints of God and you'll find that they are everywhere. And so Martin Luther, he understood this, rejoiced in God's presence and wrote his most famous hymn. Now, are the German words in there? All right, who speaks German here this morning? Anybody? Oh, can you read that for us?
Eine Christenburg ist
Oh, a little louder. Which means a mighty fortress is our God. Well, he would have wrote it in German. We have it in English. Thank you for quoting it. Mighty fortress is our God. That's what he discovered. That's what Paul discovered. Everybody's discovered it. And what you must discover, what I must discover, is that God is my refuge, he's my strength, and he's my very present help. Present help. Times of trouble. Be they little troubles or big troubles. Matters not. That's who he is. And then we come to verse 4. He said, there's a river. There's mountains are being moved, waters are foaming. What a situation. There's a river. Now, you know why this is interesting? How many have been to Jerusalem? Yeah. You know one thing you'll know about being to Jerusalem? There's no river. There's not even Wascana Creek, if you've been to Regina. I remember on the bus tour that we were on, somebody shouted out when we're going, it's all rocky and dusty, and somebody shouted out, boy, why would he pick this place? And their follow-up was, hasn't he been to Vancouver? Why would the Lord pick Jerusalem? He should have picked Vancouver. And of course, then somebody shouted out from the back of the bus, same reason he picked you, brother. No real reason to pick you, just that he did. And so, the river, there is no river. There's going to be. The rocks, when he puts his feet on the Mount of Olives, that's going to split, and a stream of water to the nations is going to happen. There's all kinds of beautiful pictures there. But David said, there's a river. Right? It's metaphorically speaking. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. He shall not be moved. A river in the midst of the city. It's a very beautiful picture to the psalmist. You see, the real river to what David refers to is the Lord himself. The Lord himself. That's the river. He's the river. Oh, thank God for the river, right? It's a wonderful thing. He's the river flowing to the aid of people who are living under pressure. He it is who provides life-giving water to those who are surrounded by testings and surrounded by traumas and are feeling overwhelmed with pressures and stress and situations that are just taxing them and causing them to worry and to fret. There's a river. I believe it's the presence of God. Not only will he be a present help in time of trouble, he said he's the river. And it's the most blessed thing you'll ever do in your life if you know how to come into the presence of God. We come through praise, right? We praise him. We bless him. We thank him. We thank him. Now, I want to turn to Isaiah. There's a verse in here. I don't think it's even in your notes, but it's worthwhile reading. Isaiah 33 and verse 21. Now, remember what he just said. There's a river, right, whose streams make glad the city of God. And now let me read Isaiah. Oh, just a second. Oh, by the way, this is not what I'm going to share with you, but look at Isaiah 33, verse 6. I don't know if I told you this, but I might even have it in my wallet. But when I was down in Palm Springs in last May, I'm going through the shopping mall, and all of a sudden my foot jammed on something that was like stuck on the floor, right? So I'm walking along at full tilt, and you know, I go, what in the world is this? I look down. Here, now it's stuck to the bottom of my shoe. I kid you not, I lifted up, I showed some of you here. It was verse 6. It was a card. It's all it said on this card was, and he will be the stability of your times. Stuck to the bottom of my shoe. No one else got one. I got one. I rip it off. He shall be the stability of your times. I showed Val, I said, look at this. She says, what are the odds? that you would put your foot on that one spot in the whole mall, big, huge mall. What are the odds that would happen? I said, I don't know, but I'm not letting it go. It's a word. And it was that word. He shall be the stability of your times. Thank the Lord. Bless the Lord. All right, chapter 33, verse 21. The asides are better than the real thing, aren't they? It's just wonderful how that works. But there, the Lord in majesty will be for us. And what will it be like? A place of broad rivers and streams where no galley with oars can go. And I got to picture the setting he's putting it in. Where no galley with oars can go, nor majestic ships can pass. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. I say, thank you, God. So he says, this river is so beautiful. The streams of it are so broad and so beautiful. And no big, large ships can go up there. He's describing something, this place of safety. How wonderful for that wonderful river of God. There's a river. I find when I know when I can get, when I've got the victory. By the way, the old timers, the really old timers, would say, "Oh, how's it going, Vicky? Do you have the victory?" I thought it wasn't said in a demeaning word. Do you have the victory? Knowing that once you've entered the river, and you begin to blow, I can tell in my situation whether I'm going to fall apart or whether I'm going to succeed by how far in to when I start praising. When I'm able to praise the Lord, when you're able to praise the Lord, say, Lord, I love you. I don't know how this is going to work out. It doesn't even matter. What matters is that you be honored and glorified. What matters is that you be the Lord of glory. I thank you and praise you. I thank you, God, you chose me. I thank your hand is on me. I'm grateful for you, Lord. I'm grateful for your guidance, for your direction. I praise you. I bless you, O Lord. I will be still and know that you are God. And then, see, now I know. Even as I'm speaking here, I can sense that. Even as I know, I'm going to be okay now. Why? Because I'm in the river. I'm blessing the Lord, praising the Lord. Many times you think you're praying. You're not praying. You're just fretting. That's not really praying. Praying is when you gain the upper hand here. You rise above it. And you have something, and you know that all is well because you're praising the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. I made a little footnote here. Relax and respond. But here's what he says in 1 Chronicles 16, 9. Sing to him. Sing praises to him and tell of his wondrous works. Tell of his wondrous works. I've often prayed, I prayed it 1,000 times. Lord, when this is all over, we'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the praise. We'll give you all the thanksgiving. We thank you and praise you that you're with us in this situation, that you are a refuge, you are a strength, you are a present help, and you are the river of my life. And there's no end of the living water that will come forth from this, but I will bless you and I will pray. I will sing unto you and I will tell everybody of your mighty works. I will tell everybody how you guided us. I will tell everybody how you helped me. I will tell everybody, you will be my testimony, God. God, I'm telling you, I'm praising you now, but I'm going to be blessing you for the work of your hands. See, we need to move our theology from our head to our heart. Right? From our head to our heart. Oh, to have a working theology. Right? It's not anybody can have a theology, but to have a working theology, a belief that really believes, a faith that really expects, and a trust that really anticipates. That's a working theology. So we're able to say, chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 8, we're able to say, come, behold the works of the Lord. He is working in your situation. Praise him. Say, well, I don't see it. Doesn't matter. Let God be true and every man a liar. I don't care what you say. Say, well, I don't see anything. Nothing's happened. No, you're wrong. God's right. God is working in because if you have made him your refuge, you've thrown away your stress, that he is your strength, and you see him as your present help in time of trouble, he is the stability of your times. And he's speaking to you this morning that you would learn to trust him, that you'd grow into intimacy with him. The whole point of the trial, the whole point of the need right now is that you and I would learn how to love and trust him. He can create all kinds of situations and all kinds of settings, but I know the purpose is that I would begin to praise him and bless him and trust him. So in Chronicles 16:9, God showed himself strong. Right? Say, thank you, God, for showing yourself to be strong. I don't feel strong. You don't feel strong, but there is a strong one. And as we learn how to bless him, God will show himself to be strong. There's a little word at the end of this passage, by the way, where it says, Selah. There's a lot of question as to what that really meant, whether it was a musical expression or some technical musical thing, or whether it was just a response. But I like to think, because it's 71 times does the word Selah appear. And I think basically it means, think on these things. Think on these things.
So everyone listen and hear.
Yeah. Keep going, brother. You got something else to say? That's good. Yeah, everybody listen. That's why he's put it there. Listen, listen. Think on these things. What think of? That God wants me to be still. He's given me a little window of panic. Right, realistically, you will panic. I will panic. Find, oh no, my car won't start. Oh no. Oh, where are my keys? By the way, I've produced more stress from my keys. I think I'm going to wire them around my neck. I'm all out of sorts, can't find them, right? Only that one time was it in the crisper that I found it. Never mind that, don't bring them. Give yourself time to know God. Respond to what you know about him. What do you know about the Lord right now? What it means a little bit, maybe some of you are brand new, some of you are older in the Lord. But we respond to what we know about the Lord. What do you know about him? See, I know that he saved me. Well, that's a start. How about the fact that he's able to sustain you and guide you and direct you? I'm so thankful for him. I'm sure so thankful for the resource. I don't look too strong, but I belong to the strong one. Right? I just think that the more you begin to see God, the more you're thanking him for who he is, the more you're casting all your care upon him. And the purpose of that is that you will just end up in awe and praise to God. Say, God, thank you. Never failed me yet. I'd like Randy to come. This is a song that we kind of stumbled on. I just said, hey, was it? Do you know anything about this song? He said, let me look at it. I haven't talked to him since about it. But I believe this is the word coming to you. So, Richard, in your words, think on these things. And think about these words. They're great words. And we'll close.